Walking through the dowdy yet beautiful landscape, a spiral staircase crossed my way. It was very tempting, and so I climbed it. Once at the top, the steps led down again, and so did I. When I was on the earth again, a sudden noise attracted my attention. Glubble glubble glub blub blub, glubble glubble glub blub blub. A little creature came down the steps. He came up to me and he introduced himself. Yes, this might seem very awkward, but he had a very strange name. His name was... well, you could never guess it. He told me I am the schizophrenic spiral staircase gnome. He said, glad to meet you. The air was quiet and dry, and he asked me, what about a cup of tea? We went up the steps once again. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, and so on. When we came at the top, the 226th step, the tea tasted delicious, and I drank several cups of it. When we finished, I left the place, and climbing down, this thought appeared to me. I thought, lucky, lucky me, lucky me, lucky me.
Before I introduce my guest tonight, I'm going to do a bit of shameless self-promotion. If you liked that last song and you thought that it was funky and you want to learn more about who is Super Sister, what is this album, Present from Nancy? Well, I just made a reel about it. It was my first reel, my first form of short-form content. It is on my Instagram, at Mellomax Radio. You can find it on there. I did another one after it, but it's the first one. Yeah. And now... I'm joined by the Michael character. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, it's James.
Hey, it's Eugene. I play the keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. And James, what do you play?
I play the guitar. I play the guitar. And I sing the songs and I write them.
Yes. And how long have you been working on this project?
So I started the Michael character... 15 years ago, 15 and a half years ago, when I was a sophomore in college. And I'm the only consistent member, although our original bassist, Waco Michalowski, rejoined the band a couple years ago, so now we have two of the four original members.
That's cool. Yeah, getting the gang back together, at least partially. Can I ask who the Michael character is?
The Michael character is, it's Michael Cera. But it's a reference to a 2006 web series called Clark and Michael, where Michael Cera and Clark Duke play writers in L.A. pitching a show about their lives. And the running gag is that Michael Cera is not he's such a baby and whines so much that he's not a believable person. So they need to get a name actor to play the Michael character because, like, people won't believe he's real. I thought that was funny. So
Yeah. And how do you think that relates to your music? Does it?
It does. I mean, at the time, it was just a pure reference. Like, the friends who started the band thought this show was funny, and we were just like saying, we would say lines from the show. One of them was the band name. One of them was a song name. You know, it had no content. Any content to it has been reverse engineered.
Okay.
Or I should say it's like post-rationalizes, more correct.
Yeah, it's like a backronym.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's the idea.
It's post-rationalized.
Post-rationalized.
Yeah. Actually,
let's be precise. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
That's a good term. Cool. And you guys aren't here just to talk. You're also here to play some music. Would you like to start us off with one of your songs?
Yeah, we're putting out a record. It's our 18th record, and we're putting it out on November 7th. And this is the first song on that record, which is called The Artist Retreat.
Eleanor's away for 2 weeks on the West Coast, shitty weather. I am at the kitchen table writing, and I'm in stuffed peppers. Brand new year again, according to one of the calendars. Taking stock of what remains as the clock ticks 10 on Oliver. Retreat in Washington State, 3,000 miles away. Barely any deep cleaning projects left to take my mind off the distance. Oh, I'm looking at a photo of us again. In the grand scheme of everything, we only get like a couple of days and weeks. And I want to spend them together. Yeah, I wanna spend them together. Could be doing pretty much whatever. Yeah, I just wanna spend them together.
Yeah. I feel like I'm always making little mouth noises.
James is always breaking the silence. Like, he's the first one.
That's true. Yeah. I fear it.
Well, you wrote the song, so who's to say that song, that sound doesn't belong there?
That's true. And actually, I realized something just today. I was going back over the masters in the car right over here, and if you turn it up really loud, you can hear the bassist, like, before and after some of the songs, just, like, kind of flubbing around. We forgot to deal with it. It's fine.
Well, that's fun.
It's character.
We fear the silence.
I mean, one of the questions that I like asking people when they have a new album coming out is, are there any mistakes that made it into any of the songs? And there's, you know.
Eugene leaned directly onto the mic. Can you think of a mistake?
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I leaned in so close, because I was so confident.
Yeah, this actually is the least mistakey record.
Oh, it's really gorgeous. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
thank you. Oh, right.
Really, yes, you did send it to me. Thank you.
Yeah, you're one of the only two people who are not in the band who have heard it. So
I'm honored. Yeah. It really, you know, it sparkles.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really... Where'd you record it?
We recorded it at Dimension Sound Studios in JP with an engineer called Dan Cardinal, who's a real sweetheart, and we worked with Dan on our last record at Dimension as well. It's a really beautiful studio. I think they do mostly like folk music, but their setup is such that we could record live. So they have like three ISO booths. We could have everyone playing at the same time, and you know, a lot of the record is cut live. Then we do overdubs for some of it, but so we got kind of a nice cohesive sound.
And the isolation there is really good. You couldn't even hear the like street parade going by.
Yeah, we recorded on the day of the Dominican Day parade.
Oh, wow.
And with just those enormous sound systems, one of which destroyed the two side doors of my car.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I didn't have my car for a month, because it was in the shop. I had to get two doors replaced. But yeah.
Hopefully insurance covered that.
It did. Yeah, okay, yeah, good. Yeah. But the thing, it was funny because it was another sort of bass thing where if you turned up in the vocal booth, if you turned it up loud, you could hear the bass from the songs. And so, I think we just had to roll off those low dBs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, the production's really good and the musicianship is really good. I really like the lyrics too. Beautifully written. Are there any... I mean, I sometimes ask if there are any stories behind the lyrics that you want to share, but really I feel like a lot of your lyrics are the stories, but is there anything that you want to add to
them? I've been weirdly bashful about just saying like it's a divorce record, which is why I wrote it. I mean, it's supposed to catalog the first 6 months of that process. Mm-hmm. All the songs but one have a time stamp, either a month, a year, and they stretch beyond that 6 month period. And some of them I wrote actually earlier, but they're ultimately sort of telling the story of that 6 months. And I think the main thing that I want people to know about it is that it's arranged in order to explore sort of the nonlinearity of grief, because none of the songs are in order. So that's, yeah. Every song is either a particular story or a series of stories that are just like things that happened. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a very beautiful album. Very touching. And, you know, I think that it's going to, I hope that it finds the right people and it really means something to them. You know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, it is interesting. I've just started playing the songs out, mm-hmm. some solo and sometimes with different formations of the band. And this band, for most of its history, has just been like a political sort of folk punky band. And mm-hmm. so my normal songwriting qualm, or not qualm, the normal thing I'm contending with is trying to write clear political music that I feel like is efficacious in as much as that can be. And trying to be understood and trying to sort of engage people with certain ideas. And in this case, I've tried to write very honest songs to my experience, but I actually suspect that nobody will or can encounter them in the way that I encounter them. And that's sort of part of the point, is I've been interested in hearing at these shows people's stories about what resonated with them and where they saw their own lives in the songs. So I feel like I'm more interested than ever in that, the kind of capaciousness of other people's interpretations and uses of the music. So I'm really excited to be putting it out soon and to hear other people's stories.
Yeah. I think that's one of the cool things about art, you know, half of the meaning behind art is the meaning that people ascribe to it, even if it's not directly the intended meaning, you know?
This used to happen all the time, and I'd be playing these political songs back when they were, I would say, a little bit less sophisticated, and I'd be playing these songs on tour, and someone would be like, "Oh, I love that song about X, Y, and Z," and I'm like, "I don't have a song that. What are you talking about?" And then I think about, "Oh, that's what you think that song is? That's wild!" And I was always struggling with that sort of like the loss of interpretive control as soon as you put something out in the world. Mm-hmm. It feels so liberating to just not even have the pretense of that. Kind of for the first time on a record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as someone who went through a breakup recently, listening to it felt very, a very, very good experience, you know, very beautiful, a lot of things that are relatable, even though it wasn't a divorce. It was, you know,
right.
A divorcing of people.
I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, not about, you know,
well, yeah, to,
but it's, geez, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was definitely a nice. I think it was a car ride. And if you could prescribe the ideal listening environment for someone the first time that they sit down with it, where should they go to listen to the Impermanent Coffee Can?
What's your take on that, Gene? What do you think?
I think it. Well, I mean, it's probably at the barn. To be honest.
Oh, with, right.
Like among.
Right. We're going to be playing. Well, the best place for you to hear this record is live on November 15th at address redacted in Stoughton, Massachusetts at a place called Former Jumanji.
Yeah. Ask a Punk.
Ask a Punk.
But my answer was not a plug. It was an earnest. Like, oh, yeah. That's the place, because that venue is like so. It's where the people that I want to turn over like complex feelings in my head congregate. And it's like the epicenter of a little scene in some ways in that way.
You think of like listening together is a good idea?
I think so. I think it's a record it's a record that I had to listen to together.
Yeah. We're actually,
it depends, I think, on the circumstances of your most recent breakup, which,
right.
you know, I've had some distance from mine, but
this is actually interesting because one thing that I, so I'm a high school teacher, and probably the absolute worst moments of my life have been when students have tried to play my music through their phones in front of me and I just lose. I'm so, I don't know what it is about it, but it's just the cringiest thing. Mm. And this is the first record I've ever made that I want to hear with other people. And so I'm actually having like a few friends over at my house tomorrow to listen to the record. The sort of pre-release listening party, which I've never done before.
I'm bringing the Beats pill.
Awesome. But it actually feels really important to do it that way. Like, I agree with Eugene. I think it's something which is unusually good for group listening.
If anyone is listening and interested in going to that show, where should they find you on Instagram to DM you?
So the Michael character on Instagram, we're the only the Michael character. We're the one where it's six people standing in a circle or with their heads in a circle and just send us a little message and say, I want to come to the release show or something along those lines, and I will send you the information.
Excellent.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And the album comes out on the 7th of November?
Midnight on the 7th on the streaming services. Obviously, we prefer Bandcamp because it's the better one. But mm-hmm. It'll be out everywhere. And I really hope people enjoy it. I also wanted to shout out our guitarist. One of our guitarists, June Eisenhart, mixed the record. And much of the reason why it sounds so good is because she just put a lot of love into it for an absurd amount of time.
June's a genius.
Yeah, she's a genius. It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah. She couldn't be here, but
pay her to engineer your record if you're making one now. Some of you listening to student radio, you may.
June Eisenhart, who lives in Somerville.
Somerville, Massachusetts,
right around
by the
corner. Mm. Yeah. Sound like a bass slide. Sorry.
All right. Well, would you like to play your next song for us?
Yeah. Do you want to? Let's try 35, even though I think it'll be a little tough.
35.
One of the things is that, well, that's fine. We'll just do it. This is the second song on the record. It's called 35. As a bit of background, I write birthday songs every year. This is the 35 song, which is the age I am now. I have songs for every age from 0 to 35, and you can hear those songs on the birthday songs album from a couple years ago.
What percentage of those songs did you write that year?
Starting with 20.
Okay.
So I've been doing that for a long time, but
you're doing the math at home. That's 15 years.
It's a long time. But yeah, I think I wrote I wrote 0 through 19 in the fall of 2020 during lockdown. Just like banged them out. Yeah. And we found that just a couple of days ago that at least one of those songs I completely ripped off to make a new song a couple of years later on a record. So
yeah.
That's identical. So anyway. Hmm. So this is 35.
Two empty shelves on your bookcase, the packing's proceeding slowly. Most days I wake and you're not there. I don't know where you've been sleeping. Fully over, not yet done. You still tend the garden. Everything is different now, save for all the things that stuck around. In your imagination, is this what you wanted? Is this how you wanted it? In your imagination, is this what you wanted? Is this how you wanted it? 2 second pause by the front door. Notice that your backpack's missing. I make one pour over coffee. Zone out while the future's disappearing. Day to day it feels the same. Working hard, overeating. Discarding all my long-term plans. No more Christmas at your parents'. In your imagination, is this what you wanted? Is this how you wanted it? In your imagination, is this what you wanted? Is this how you wanted it? Well, I came away from a conversation, fuming, impatient, misplaced anger. Heard your voice on the compilation, softened my eye, made me ashamed. Well, I hate feeling bitter when I do, but I do and I do. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. It's true. First ever date, 2019. You skinny dipped while I read on the dock. No grad school then to compel me. Still, I felt like I was on the clock. 6 years later in our home, boxes fill the studio. Lesson learned a bit too late. How much time did I waste? Getting things done every day. Checking all the boxes that I made. Impressing people with my accolades. A long CV, anxiety, fear, compulsion, and entropy. Nothing really left to say. Tomorrow is moving day. 35 years, very old. Reaping what I've sown in my imagination. This isn't how I saw it. This isn't what I wanted. I put my books on your bookshelves. Unpacking, proceeding slowly.
No mouth noises this time.
No, I was intentional there. I gotta tell you, I feel good about it.
I was lasering in. I was waiting for it to happen.
I was really resisting hard. it's funny. I was just telling I have a student teacher right now, and we were just talking about, for like classroom management purposes, new teachers always want to just like talk. And in a classroom setting, those silences are like so crucial. Both for classroom management purposes and also for like cognition and, you know, checking for understanding and whatever. But silence is just such an important part of teaching. But then when I come into a music setting, it's like the second the song's over, I'm like, well, like, I'm like thumbing my suspenders and making goofy sounds and doing impressions and whatever. It's it's not good.
Let's not let that one sink in too deep. Let's go.
Yeah, sure. Keep it. game on.
Sure.
Let's do the band room.
Band room?
Yeah, all right. Here's a real story about being 15. But it's not the song 15, which is a different song. I know how to play it. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. Sometimes I hang with friends, I do social interaction so poorly. I lose touch with who I am, feel left adrift, it unmoors me. But at a certain point in life, that feels weird to bring to light. Having long since learned the lesson that being who you are is alright. But what the heck, there's barely any situations where I feel fully comfortable and appropriately self-aware. There's tension in the day-to-day, the inability to be normal, a hangover from childhood. I'm acting like a freak in the corner, laying down on the floor of the band room, pull a chair right over my head, listening to something corporate, a new kind of contentedness, disappear into my headphones. Everything is simple now. Life is five and space to rest. I'm finally at peace in a crowd. It's funny, at least like big old rock and roll songs are doing the duo version.
They're intimate.
Yeah, it's true. Our bassist lives in Philly, so we almost never play full band shows, except on November 15th at former Jumanji in Stoughton. But we've been playing all these different arrangements, so I feel like every show we've had a different arrangement of the band, and it's like kind of fun to see what that feels like.
Yeah, you've done a lot of solo gigs for a while whenever we couldn't get the full six piece together, but now that I'm not in Vermont anymore,
Oh, yeah. Eugene used to be in Vermont for years, which was a real major problem.
4.5 years of playing in this band and living in Burlington.
That's crazy.
That's a trip. Wow.
Yeah, and it was like...
Every other weekend.
At the time, we had a bassist who lived in Boston, so it was just Eugene that had to suffer.
Yeah. You met me halfway so many times, though.
Yeah, we would meet Eugene in places that would take like about as long for Eugene to... Yeah, yeah, it's true. But it's over now, so...
That's true.
It's good news.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, that song, I think, occasioned our other guitarist, Amanda, to listen to the band Something Corporate for the first time, which was probably a funny experience for
and
a person.
And also I.
Oh, yeah. It's a funny experience for an older person. But I don't know if you know that band. They were like
Sounds familiar, I think. But
just one of those bands from 20 years ago that doesn't have any kind of cachet now, and that's fine. but they meant a lot to me in 2005. So,
hey, those bands are important.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true. If you're a real head out there and you're trying to decode the lyrics, the song I was listening to in the band room was "She Paints Me Blue," so you can look that up, which has a cool little synthy part.
Ooh. What did you play in band?
Well, I play in, this is an interesting, want a terrible anecdote? I played in orchestra, I played a violin, and one day both of the teachers were out, so they just put all of us together in the band room and just were like, just don't leave. And then people just running around screaming and, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But I played violin from 10 to 18, and I still play it. Once in a while. I used to record with it in college, and for a brief stint I was recording for other people, like recording parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then one time I went to record a violin part for somebody, and they were like, yeah, this sounds good. And then the record came out and they just like had a fully different person come and record it better, and I never recorded violin for anyone again. But I recently picked it up and started playing it, and I'm trying to learn some songs on it, so... It's crazy what'll happen with rosin if you just leave a heavily rosined bow in a violin case for like 10 years.
What's it do?
Well, many of the horsehairs snapped on both of the bows, and there's just rosin dust on everything, and it's just, I feel like I have to take it to like a professional cleaner. I don't know how to get it out.
Yeah, but you'll have to take it to Rosendale.
Correct, yeah. Well done, little neighborhood humor.
Yeah, yeah.
10 points.
It's local radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keeping it local. On the instrument note, if this is one for both of you, if you could wake up tomorrow with the ability to play any instrument,
got it.
What instrument would you choose?
Clarinet.
Oh, nice.
Not even hard. Ask me a hard one. No, clarinet's my favorite instrument, and I wish every day I could play it. They've been selling one in the thrift store by my house for like a couple weeks. No one's bought it, and I've already at one point purchased a thrift clarinet, not learned how to play it, and then donated it. And I'm like, is it going to happen again? Am I going to learn it this time? No. But I don't know.
Could happen. You never know.
It's true.
Bass clarinet.
Oh, now we have to do it. That's much harder to find probably, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's twice as much stuff in the tube because it's an octave or whatever.
Stuff in the tube.
It's not quite an octave. I don't know how big it is, actually. Maybe it is.
Stuff in the Tube's the name of my...
They're big. They're woody.
Public access television show.
I just love... I love the overtones. In a bass clarinet.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful. Yeah.
When I did my composition degree, I subbed in a bass clarinet for the typical ensemble form. And the clarinet player that they got to read our piece was like, nice choice. So I've been forever.
A little hat tip?
Yeah, I got sort of professional acclaim. In the moment, and I was like, I'm going to be chasing this forever, for sure. This feels crazy.
Eugene and I play in a different band called MCTheProfessor.gov, where I give history lectures with an improvisational backing band, and our composer, who there's some composed parts in the improv, and our composer is a clarinet player. They moved to Texas recently, so that's tough.
Typical.
Yeah, but
clarinetists.
Like, I loved playing with them, because it was, I just love the sound of that instrument.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
That sounds like a really cool other project. Where can people go to find out more about that?
Well, don't Google it because it's not a real website. I mean, you try and type mctheprofessor.gov into the bar, it'll take you to a non-website.
Mm.
But if you Google mctheprofessor.gov band, we have some YouTube videos. I think there's 7 lectures on YouTube. And also my website, jamesyketa.com. has the videos. Today was one of those days when I get a notification that's like, someone tried to sign into your login 21 times.
Oh my God.
Every so often people are trying to like get into, you know, whatever. I don't know who these people are, but so if my website's still up today, jamesikeda.com, IKEDA, you can look at the videos there.
Wow, that's a scary email to get.
Yeah, it's every like 2 months I get it. And wow. It's always a huge number.
I wonder if it's the same James or if it's a bunch of different people who are like, hey, that's my name. I want my website.
Remember the Bummer City, we also do a thing called the Bummer City Historical Society, and our website got taken over by like a Bangladeshi League of Legends team at one point.
That's sick.
For reasons that everyone who like heard that story seemed to automatically understand, then I was like, I don't know what any of those words mean. Besides for Bangladeshi. but I was like, I don't like, what do you mean? What are they doing on using our website for their game? Like, what are you talking about? But I guess people do that. I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't. Is it bandwidth? Don't even try to explain it to me. Eugene tried to explain something computer related.
I'm over here vibrating.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because Eugene actually knows. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So. mctheprofessor.gov band in Google. Look it up.
Will do.
And we'll have another show eventually. We're theoretically working on a lecture right now.
Yeah, we play like, what, once a year or something?
Well, once a year, sometimes with a 4-year gap in between.
Right, don't miss it.
Yeah.
Comes and goes.
Yeah. We'll play
like the seasons, baby.
2026, we'll be doing a couple of shows, I'm sure.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, what else have you got for us tonight?
Want to try the title track?
Yeah. It's a heavy one.
Yeah, let's give it a shot. Why not?
The heavy one.
This is The Impermanent Coffee Can. The one song on the record that does not have a year, but I wrote it in March. So. So we're in your kitchen. I'm cooking down the onions. You notice my technique. There's a critical distance when someone's too cool to know. But with this spatula, I feel competent. The permanent coffee can right there in the cabinet. Already old when I first laid eyes on it. Tells a story I never asked to hear. We had all the time in the world, but now the world is ending. So we're in her kitchen. I'm soaping up the dishes. You're making something sweet. It's good to bear witness to the mundane every day with each other here in the home we've made. The permanent coffee can right there in the cabinet. Already old when I first laid eyes on it. The name tells a story I never asked to hear. We had all the time in the world, but now the world is ending. Thank you.
So I'm in my kitchen, I'm not cooking anything. There's a DoorDash bag in the recycle bin and a ton of trash with plastic in it. And I feel sick. The permanent coffee can absent from the cabinet. It's with you somewhere else now, I'm thinking about it. The name tells a story I guess I'll never hear. We had all the time in the world. Pots and pans are gone. Lampless corner table dark. Gaps where frames with photos on. I swear we had the right screwdriver. Oh wait, that was yours. That was yours. The kitchen cabinet doors are all shut when I get back home. The mugs are stacked the way I left them. Handles turn the same direction, except for the one with the chipped rim and the red flowers on it. The one you drank your coffee from. That one's gone. Nothing interrupts the stillness when I close my eyes, except for everything inside. Ear swaddled in the silence, I sit and wait for life, but nothing in this damn house ever moves. I really, really miss you.
I think that changed that last chord there.
It was tasteful.
Yeah.
Yum, yum.
Mmm.
Mmm. We, yeah.
Usually at the end of that song on the record, there's that big round with all the instruments. And the last time we played it on stage, the drummer does this ba-da-ba-da-ba thing. Mm-hmm. And we just like had not talked about it. I don't even remember. I blacked out at that point. I don't remember what happened, but I think it was awesome. I'm pretty sure it was totally fine.
I love the sparsity. And I love how every time we play it live, nobody knows what to do. it's like when you go to a classical concert and they do that thing where they clap after every movement, and then the guys, oh, yeah, the old heads are like, come on.
You know what my favorite thing about every wedding is when the bride comes out, like there's usually one person in the, even you watch, you'll see from afar, there's always one person who's like holding it down for the tradition, and they're going to stand up and they're going to do it very emphatically, mm-hmm, and then everyone follows. It's always someone who like has to take that leap of knowing when to stand. And when we saw Jonathan Richman the other night, I don't know if you caught this, but it's actually really funny. So we saw Jonathan Richman at the Somerville Theater. Incredible show. Absolute God level performance. Person's amazing. But at a time that felt appropriate to me, I started a standing ovation, and I just stood, and I was just me for like a little while, and then the guy in front of me stood up, and then the whole crowd stood up. And then he came back and did encores, and we all just continued standing, which I think is good. But there was, at least in the area I was, I heard people being like, can we sit down? Like, do we have to? And I was sitting there like, well, shoot. It was time to stand up. I didn't know. I'm not going to be like, all right. So.
No, I can't fault you there. I mean, I heard that show was really, really awesome.
So special.
Yeah. You heard right.
So
yeah.
Special.
Yeah. Also, why would you sit down during the encore? You had the whole show to sit down.
Yeah, it's
get
true.
On your feet.
Yeah. I was doing a very like old person, like leaning on the seats in front of me because my legs weren't steady. I was trying to like, yeah, it was awesome though. Yeah, honestly, I love Jonathan Richman's recorded music. It's great, but I just had no idea that you could be like an angel on stage in the way that he was. It was like watching, like I feel like if he'd been alive in biblical times, there'd be like another. He would have like apostles. Who just like follow him around? They're like this person is like clearly channeling something like higher.
Yeah, well, these days we call those influences.
Yeah. He's got a lot of influences.
He's influenced.
He's influenced a lot of people.
Yeah.
People in like flowy garbs like wandering around behind him.
Sure.
Mimicking his incredible and like very captivating mm-hmm. dance moves mm-hmm. that are so minimal. But so expressive.
Hmm.
I can't say enough about how great this show was. I loved it. Made me so happy. If anyone listening knows what the last song Jonathan Richman played during his set the first night at Somerville Theater, please
call in
the.michael.character@gmail.com. Send me a message. Let me know.
Also, if anyone was wondering what that really cool sound effect was in between the impermanent coffee can and empty house, I think that was the commuter rail.
Yeah. I noticed that, and I was like, I thought it was your keyboard doing it, and I was like, well, that's a new patch. Like, that's cool.
I would love to sample the commuter rail for a future performance.
And you that's can tell awesome. That it wasn't the green line because it wasn't squeaking.
That's true. Yeah, it was a much more respectable nice sort of whoosh. Rumble.
Yeah.
Does it squeak smooth. Up here? I haven't been on the new green line.
It doesn't matter where
so
you
much.
Put the tracks. If it's the green line, it's going to be yelling at you. Oh,
I think it's worse up here because the tracks are the wrong width.
No kidding.
That's so awesome.
That's why they... Yeah.
See, this is that, why we got a fun transit, folks.
I actually really like... I think that's good.
And they realized that was an issue, and they were like, oh, we should fix this. But then the person who was in charge of the project said, no, I'm retiring soon, and I want to be able to be the one who got this project done, so we're doing it the way it is. Even though we'll then have to spend like 5 years to fix it.
I love that. And God, I hope that person gets a plaque somewhere. That's
many
awesome.
Such cases, yeah.
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 Whom among us? So,
got any more like pithy one-liners before we continue?
Not even.
Okay.
Not even. No, I will say, so I teach all day, and it's a front, you're like in front of people, and you're, mm-hmm. you are like performing kind of for the day. And I get so wiped out by the end of the day. I don't know if I... All right, this is not going to be a good story. This will require a lot of imagination on you, the listener's part, for it to be a good story. But there was a time recently when someone was talking to me and I was so exhausted after work and I just fully did not respond. Like, I just looked silent. I sort of opened my mouth like I was going to say something. And it wasn't important. It was like, how you doing? Or like, I think we were riffing and it was my turn to say something. And I just kind of was like, I just paused and I didn't say anything for much longer than whatever you're imagining right now. It was like a long stretch of time. And the person was like, I think eventually we just walked away. Like it, like it was the greatest social failure of my 30s, which I'm pretty excited about. So, and it's that time of night.
Yeah.
Know? Maybe after the next song, maybe I'm just going to like, you know, I don't know, glitch out and have to do a hard reset.
Hopefully a train will go by again. We can enjoy the silence.
Yeah. It is a nice sound.
Yeah. I was like, I was waiting for it to end, and then you went into the. I was gonna say something, and then you went into the next song. I was like, "Oh no, this is perfect." It was the greatest bridge. It was.
In the video podcast version of this, the camera person is standing behind the train, and then as the train passes, then suddenly we're gone.
And then you cut to someone on top of the train at a distance, looking at the studio, sort of. Yeah.
He's saying, "Ho ho ho!"
You'd be surprised how high quality the video version of this program. It's like really like there's like a it's a six camera setup. And there's someone on all sides of the building. There's a man on the street person doing interviews right now, being like, what do you think of you walking around right now?
Mm-hmm. It's being broadcast out into the air. What do you think? Can you hear the airwaves?
Yeah. Do you get radio? You're walking around. Do you get radio on that? Just poking, pointing at people's electronics.
Yeah. Are you feeling like you getting dizzy? Like all the 5G?
Yeah. Oh, I haven't heard a 5G joke in a while.
Yeah.
I'm
bringing them back.
Whatever that really funky house is that's like a couple blocks that way, there's some like it's like a psychedelic retreat place.
Oh, the Face House?
Yeah.
I love the Face House. Have you seen the Face House?
I haven't seen the Face House.
Big old face on it.
They were really upset about the 5G antenna that was placed outside of their place.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me something I'm less surprised about, and I'll be astonished. I will be astonished, jaw on the floor. That's so. The Face House people are scared of 5G. I'm sorry. That's not possible.
Yeah.
So we just gonna have to agree to disagree on that. For sure. That doesn't fit into my worldview. That's awesome. I love that fact. I'm just going to be chewing on that for a while.
Yeah, no, and that's why I brought it up. I was like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes too much sense.
So I'm just going to make a quick note, Face House 5G. Face House 5G fear.
Yeah, I think there's a news article about it. They like wrote an editorial or something.
Well,
look forward to that being on TMC 019.
I got to add that to my potent images for songwriting notes document.
Awful.
Yes. Well, do you have more songs you want to play?
Do you want to do Cotton Anniversary?
Yeah, desperately, because I want to play with my new pitch bend powers.
Oh yeah, Eugene sent a video to the chat about this. I haven't seen it live yet. So
yeah, I got an exciting new keyboard, and I'm figuring out all the buttons still.
This is the song that I practiced the other day. I was like, what are the chords? And it was very embarrassing.
There's three of them.
It's one of the easiest songs. Okay, this is the penultimate track on the record. It's called The Cotton Anniversary, April 2025. I start this one, right?
Certainly.
Absolutely. Second anniversary, it's the cotton one. This is already over. But it's warm enough to sit outside. I cook Shanghai bok choy and eggplant with garlic sauce. You grill bulgogi in the griddle over the fire pit. Dinner superstars, a scotch, a beer, leftover rice, and a chocolate good humor bar. I did the dishes and brushed my teeth, and then you were gone. In keeping with the new order of things, same people, fewer rings. Woke alone in the morning, same people, fewer rings, woke up happy in the morning, same people, fewer rings, woke up happy morning, same people, fewer rings, same people, fewer rings.
Oh,
that bendy bit sounds so cool.
It's nice.
Can you do that again?
Yeah, certainly.
We should have had him doing this the whole interview.
Yeah.
You know, doing a little,
Oh, actually, we do need to read a PSA.
Oh, please.
Do you want to flip through and see if any of them speak to you?
Are you kidding? Absolutely. Okay. So any of these?
Any, yeah.
Wait, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You want me to keep his vamp going while you read
okay,
it?
Oh, yeah. Please. Yes.
Nice.
And tell us about your new toy.
Oh, my new keyboard?
Yeah.
Well, I finally shelled out for one of those ubiquitous red pianos. You know the ones. Mm. If you know, you know. It's very fun. It has everything.
Eugene, I have a few words I'd like to share. Is it okay? I wrote a poem.
I give you permission.
Okay. Doorknobs, restrooms, telephones, keyboards. Pointed at you, Eugene. Other people. What do these things have in common? They're all easy ways for you to pick up or pass along germs. Germs that could lead to colds and flu. Now, you can't spend your days avoiding contact with everything, but you can take a few important steps to protect yourself. Washing your hands is one of the best and easiest ways to avoid catching or spreading colds and flu. Keeping your hands and the surfaces you touch clean protects not only you, it also protects those around you. A few extra minutes a day is all it takes to put capital Y, your, capital H, health, capital F, first. Your health first. For more on avoiding the flu, talk to your doctor or visit massmed.org. That's MASSMED.org and click Your Health First. This public health message brought to you by the Massachusetts Medical Society.
I might clip that and send it to like the exec board and be like, hey, can we put this into our automation system? This is incredible.
I will read every page. I think we can, well, you know, we'll just, we work for, whoa. Did you hear the two tones on those car horns?
Oh, wow. Yeah. They made a chord because it's two notes.
That was awesome.
Mathematically. Yeah.
They knew it too when they passed by each other. They were like, do it. And they hit
yeah,
the,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. James is always suggesting we have like more dissonant music and I'm always the one to rein him back. I'm like,
well. The bit here is that it's the opposite.
Why would you with me?
The thing is, so much of our Eugene and my music making history is just me reading stuff and him improvising.
It's true, yeah.
It's like one of our favorite things to do.
So. Yeah, I really enjoy it, actually.
We work for free.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'll go through that whole book.
Mm-hmm. I have to...
Huh?
Huh?
What?
Huh? I was just going to tell the story about Other Honey and how, like, I met the band, like, the day of...
Okay, so this is a divorce album, but 6 years ago, we put out a breakup album called Other Honey. Mm-hmm. We actually recorded two albums in 2 days. One of them was a rock record. And one of them was this, like, whatever. It's a poetry record. So
I would call it Spoken Word.
Spoken Word.
You could be the next Lydia Lunch if you really put your mind
to
it,
yum.
I feel.
So it was did anyone like my lunch joke? Okay. So it was like a bunch of poems I'd written that were all it was actually very similar. It was all months. And it was like, but that was chronological. And it was tracking this breakup. And what I did is I just got three musicians who I thought hadn't met each other, and it was Eugene Srishti, who was the Bansuri player, and then Max Ridley. And it turns out that Srishti...
Grammy Award winner, right?
Yeah, Grammy Award winner.
Crazy.
And she had met Max Ridley in Spain, and they saw each other and were like, oh, I remember you from the show in Spain. And I was like, what are you... Whatever. Just play the songs. And what was crazy is, it's like, it was all improv, and it opened with, like, the open... You can hear this on Bandcamp. Our friend opened up a can of seltzer, and that, like, starts the record, and then everyone starts playing, and no one knew what, like... There was no planning. It's all live in the room, totally fresh. It's a really wild record. But the best part of that is there's a track that's an actual song, and I was playing guitar on it, and it's just the band was just having to learn a song while I'm playing it. And it sounds great.
It does.
The band's very competent. Other Honey, 2019. It's a good record.
Yeah. Cool.
Our friend Fen Makin loves it. So if that doesn't get you to Bandcamp right now, you know, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
They're a very reputable person.
This new record sounds so different because I had even maybe like at least a day or two to rehearse it.
The parts are written, so it's a totally different kind of record. But yeah.
But that's the way we work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Well, we are getting close to the top of the hour. We probably don't have time for a song, so we can chat a little bit more.
Good.
Sure.
Yeah.
Good.
That works?
Oh, totally.
Cool.
Yeah.
Also, if you guys want, we have to do a station ID, and all you have to say is WMFO Medford, but you could also say, this is blank, and you're right over there next to the Moose.
Oh my God, we can record next to
the Moose. There's also one up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, and if you want to play on the keys, and you can say who you are, what band you're in.
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You ready?
Oh my God, we get to record a spin. This is so exciting.
This is James Ikeda of Greater Boston's number one academic punk band, The Michael Character. And you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts, Freeform Radio. I was doing my impression of Michael Bloomberg code switching and saying Medford and trying to steal real townie valor.
Yeah. No, nice. I'll have to clip that one too.
Yeah. Yeah. Please.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Thank you guys. So much content. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
That's what we're here for. Yeah. You know. Yeah. We're a content mill.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
That's the point of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely keeps me feeling content, and that's important.
Well, that's our goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And anything that's reusable, this is good. You know, get a little more juice out of the program. I like
for
that.
Sure. For yeah. sure. And let's see. I'll hit you guys with a couple of if you were a pigeon, where in Boston would you hang around?
You must instantly know.
I must instantly know. It's pavement, surely.
Really?
Yeah, for me.
Oh, you know what? Actually, above the BU pavement, there's a disused parking garage, and some little birds love to hang out up there, and I could be one of them.
Why not?
Yeah.
And let's see. What's another fun question on here?
Spinning the question Rolodex.
Ooh, pretty much. Do you think your music reflects more of who you are or who you want to be?
Yikes. definitely who I am.
Yeah, that feels very actually. This is
100%. Well, no, I think it's a healthy balance of both. A horrible cop-out answer.
No, not at all.
I feel like some of the political songs are like aspirational but this record is definitely the who I am.
Yeah. This record isn't political at all.
I would say this record reflects almost none of who Gene is.
Well,
lyrically, I would say like almost zero.
What about when I was like empty house?
Yeah, that's true.
I had one of those.
Oh, sorry. Can I just say very briefly? In Empty House, in the recording, we recorded the gang vocals into the mic that was the mic that was the piano mic for the grand piano that Eugene was playing. So we all stood around the piano and yelled. So, just wanted someone to know that before I forget.
It was a really good choice.
Yeah. Well.
And now, in our last minute, really quick. Who are you? What's happening November 7th? And where can people find you?
Okay. The Michael Character. You can find us at themichaelcharacter.bandcamp.com, The Michael Character on Instagram. November 7th, our new record, Impermanent Coffee Can, is coming out. And then on the 15th of November, we have our release show in Stoughton. The information for that is on the Instagram page. Again, The Michael Character.
Beautiful. Thank you guys both so much for coming in. It was a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having us. It was a joy.
Thank you.
Yeah, truly.
And stick around because Skybar is taking over for On the Town with Mikey D tonight, 3 hours of local music, and a live performance by Orbiter at 10:30.